Odin was a warrior from the land of the midnight sun, with a Thompson gun for hire, fighting to be done.
Hi folks, I'm Bob Main. Welcome to another episode of the Handgun World Podcast. This is episode number 338, continuing my series that is pretty much for new shooters. This is actually the last part of a three-part series that I wanted to put out there that is mainly for new shooters. So for those of you that have people who are new to this, this concealed carrying and training with a handgun, owning handguns for self-defense, this is primarily handgun-oriented. I might get into long guns for new shooters in a couple of weeks, but this is primarily towards handguns. In this third episode of doing that, I want to talk about learning how to use your gun. First of all, I want to say many thanks to Paul Carlson of the Safety Solutions Academy for last week's interview. I really appreciate that. Thanks again, Paul. Check out his podcast at the Safety Solutions Academy podcast. Okay, I want to start with the main topic. I'll start with the main topic, and then I'm going to get into some other things a little bit later in this particular episode. But I want to begin this by asking you to get training. Oh, now you're going to think, well, some of you are going to think, there you go again, Bob. You're talking about training. You know, I've been criticized on this show for talking too much about training, and I've got to scratch my head at that one. Why am I being criticized sometimes for talking too much about training? I don't know why. I want you to consider this. One of the arguments that anti-gun people use against those of us who believe in providing for our own personal protection is that we're untrained and dangerous. Right? You ever heard of that? They say we can't be trusted with a gun. And I got to say that the anti-gunners do a pretty good job of using that against us. And you know why they can do such a good job? Because such a small percentage of people who buy a gun for self-defense actually get training. So this validates, ladies and gentlemen, come on, this validates the anti-gunners. It validates one of their arguments against us. Why would you want to give them the ability to do that? Okay? Now, before I go into the rest of this subject matter about learning how to use your gun, and by the way, there's a difference between learning how to use your gun and getting self-defense training. I'll point that out a little bit later in this episode. Before you start to think that I'm some kind of hardcore right-wing gun nut, let me elaborate on something. Self-defense transcends politics. Okay? I've got friends that are politically liberal and progressive that still firmly believe in the right to own and carry a gun. I spent some time doing some business with one of them in the last couple days. I've also had people attend my training classes who are progressive in their political beliefs or liberal, but they are still interested in learning how to use their gun, and they've come to our classes. So I don't believe this is a political issue. Okay, I just don't. I think this transcends politics. And as I've mentioned before, my faith tells me and teaches me that I have a right to life. I have a right to life. And I believe in that right to life and my right to protect my life and the lives of people that I love. So, you know, training is not just limited to being a responsible person. I think you're obligated to do it. And again, I think you're morally obligated to get training with your gun. Oh, no, I can't believe you just said that, Bob. Now, I didn't say that I think you should be legally obligated. I didn't say that the government should legally obligate you to get training. I said I think that you're morally responsible to get training because I think that when you possess a gun, you possess something that you can be irresponsible with, very irresponsible. And your irresponsibility with a firearm can sometimes cause much greater harm than other devices. Now, because we have a right protected by the Second Amendment in this great country called the United States, training should not be a government requirement. But I do think that you have a responsibility to you, your fellow citizen, and you've got a moral responsibility to learn how to use it. And here's what I mean. Let me take this a little bit step further. Why do you want to own something that is effective at defending yourself and not be good with it? Think about that. You might think you're good with it, but you know the old saying, you don't know what you don't know. How many of you listening to this show right now know an irresponsible gun owner? Right? Don't be that person. Please remember that training also helps you learn how to prevail if you should have to use your gun. You know, sometimes training is looked down upon as something that people say that you have to do and that you're a knucklehead if you don't do it. And I don't want you to hear that message from me. I don't want you to think that you're a knucklehead if you don't get training. And of course, we don't want our government to be mandating that you should have training. But don't you want to learn how to win the fight? Don't you want to learn how to prevail? Isn't that why you bought a gun in the first place? Isn't that why you have a gun? Is because, hey, if you have to use it, you want to win. Now, it was, I believe, the last episode I mentioned that bad guys train also. And this is something that a lot of people don't think about. Bad guys practice and train. And some of them, maybe they don't do it intentionally, but they learn their evil craft on the streets. I have a question I want to ask all of you. Do you know the techniques of a criminal? Now, unless you happen to be a criminal, former criminal turned good guy, right? Which I doubt that there's even one listener like that. Okay, unless you know the techniques of a criminal, do you know how to defend yourself against them? I'd say probably not. I'd say that you are at more of a disadvantage than you might think if you don't know the techniques of some of the bad guys. You know, what's the old saying? You got to know your enemy. In order to beat your enemy, you got to know your enemy, and you have to have a pretty good idea as to what your enemy is going to do and what they might do against you. So, more on that a little bit later. But since I just recently got done talking about responsibility, because this is an episode primarily for new shooters, I've got to cover the four rules of gun safety. I know some of you experienced shooters are probably thinking, oh, Bob, this is boring stuff. The four rules of gun safety. I don't care if it's boring. Gun safety can never be stressed enough. Okay? So let me ask you a question. Do you know the four rules of gun safety? Do you know them by heart? Can you say them quickly? Are they ingrained in your mind? Are they part of you? Are they reflexive responses? Are they something that you're going to automatically do? Are you going to automatically be safe without even thinking about it? Okay? Now, some people say, well, what do you mean, Bob? What do you mean I shouldn't be thinking about being safe? You shouldn't have to think about something. It should be reflexive. It should be second nature. Remember a long time ago when I first started doing the podcast, I talked about the four levels of learning, and maybe I ought to review that. There are four levels of the learning process. The first level is the unconscious incompetent. Unconscious incompetent. You know what the other words for that are? They don't know what they don't know. Unconsciously, they don't even know that they're incompetent. Okay? Then a person becomes consciously incompetent. Think about that one. Now they know they don't know what they don't know. See, the light's coming on. They know that there's something they don't know. They're consciously incompetent. The third level is consciously competent. Bob, you're giving me the head spins here. No, think about it. They're consciously competent. They know that they know what they're doing. All right? Some people call this arrogance. I call it just being consciously competent. They know that they're good. But the best are unconsciously competent. That means without even thinking about it, without even making a conscious decision to be good, they're good. The four rules of gun safety should be the same thing. Without even having to think about it, your finger, your trigger finger is off that trigger, and it's indexed along the slide of the gun, right above the ejection port. Okay? So, sorry if this sounds a little basic, but let's cover these because I owe you the truth. I owe you the truth, and I owe you to talk about these things. And let's get into it. These are as simply put as I can possibly make them. Rule number one, treat all guns as if they're loaded. Now, even if a gun's not loaded, treat it as if it is. Nothing irritates me more than when I hear this. He accidentally shot himself when he was cleaning his gun. It just went off. You ever heard of that? He accidentally shot himself when he was cleaning his gun because it just went off? How does that happen? Ladies and gentlemen, a gun does not fire by itself. Somebody or something has to press that trigger. Guns don't pull the triggers by themselves. He didn't accidentally shoot himself when he was cleaning his gun. He didn't check to see if there was a round in the chamber, and like a real knucklehead, he pulled the trigger because he did two things. He didn't make sure his gun was unloaded, and he didn't keep his stupid finger off of the trigger. And that's why the gun fired. I mean, when somebody says that, well, he accidentally shot himself cleaning his gun and it just went off, I think it's just a completely ignorant statement to make. If the gun owner properly treated the gun as if it was a loaded gun, and by the way, there is a proper procedure. There is a proper procedure to verify that a gun's unloaded, and there's also a wrong way to do it. Okay? In training classes, I teach the right way to do it. And even if the gun malfunctions and fires a bullet, which like never happens, a shooting wouldn't occur if you treat the gun as if it's a loaded gun. And remember point number two. Rule number two. Don't ever point the gun at anything you don't want to shoot or destroy. So let's say the most unlikely of unlikely things. Let's say some kind of bizarre malfunction happened and the gun fired itself. Doesn't happen, but let's just, for argument purposes, say that it happens. Well, if you're obeying rule number two and you don't point that gun at anything you don't want to shoot or destroy, no one's going to get hurt. Okay? I mean, this is so incredibly simple. I almost hate to talk about it, but I have to. Okay, if rule number one's violated and you don't treat every gun like it's loaded, but you don't have that thing pointed at anybody or anything that you don't want to destroy, nobody's going to get hurt or nothing's going to get destroyed if it goes off and fires around. And then number three, see, I wish number three wasn't number three. I wish number three was number one. But that's just me. Number three, keep your finger off the trigger unless you're ready to shoot. And I've said it many times, keep your booger hook off the bang switch. I didn't invent that. I got that from other people. But I think this is the most important rule of gun safety. Okay, because even if rule one and two are violated, keeping your booger hook off the bang switch is going to prevent you from hurting you or somebody else. You follow this, you see how these all go in sequence, and they're all these rules of gun safety are all dependent upon each other. See, ladies and gentlemen, how many of you know this? Know what I'm about to say here. Guns do what they're designed to do. When the trigger's pulled, they fire a bullet. Period. That's what they're supposed to do, unless it's a malfunctioning gun. Okay? People think a malfunctioning gun will fire itself. No. No, malfunction guns don't fire. Okay, that's another myth, too, by the way. People say, the gun malfunctioned and fired itself. Impossible. Okay, I shouldn't say impossible. Anything mechanical like that, there's always a small, small, minute percentage that it could fail. But a real malfunctioning gun fails to fire. So if the trigger's not pulled, they're not going to fire on their own. A modern gun, okay, and when I say a modern gun, anything made probably within the last 40 years, it's designed with plenty of safeties, both internal and external safeties, to prevent it from firing unless the trigger is pulled. So there's no excuse for violating this rule, which is rule number 3. Keep your finger off the trigger till you're ready to shoot. And number 4, know your target and what is beyond it. Know what it is that you're firing at. Know what is beyond what you're firing at, because, as I've mentioned before, if you miss, what's going to happen? Yeah. If you miss and you don't know what's beyond your target, somebody innocent could get hurt. So when you make the decision to shoot, be prepared to miss. That's right. I said that. When you make the decision to shoot, be prepared to miss. You need to know that you won't hurt an innocent person if you do miss. It's pretty much that simple. Now that we've gotten those out of the way, let me get back to learning how to use your gun. It also starts with learning how to carry your gun. Carrying it so that it's readily accessible when you need it the most. Now, let me give you some examples of what I'm talking about carrying it so that it's readily accessible. Let me discuss with you some things I see out there that happens all the time. Women like to carry a small gun in their purse. Men like to carry a small gun in their pocket. In my opinion, neither of these is a good idea if you need to get to your gun quickly and easily. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you. Try carrying in these two methods and try drawing your gun. And by the way, if you're new, I'm going to suggest, this is the only time you're ever going to hear me suggest this, I'm going to suggest that you unload your gun and double check that it's unloaded. Ladies, put that small gun in your purse. Get somebody in your family, whether it's your spouse, son or daughter, somebody, to fake an attack on you. Okay? See how quickly you can get your gun out of your purse. Now, by the way, don't point your gun at them when you do this, because we don't want to violate the rule of never pointing your gun at anything that you don't want to shoot. Even if your gun's unloaded, you don't do that. But let's see just how fast you can get it out of your purse. You know, keep it pointed in a safe direction, but let's see how fast, ladies, that you can get that gun out of your purse. Men, let's see how fast you can get that little gun out of your pocket. Try sitting in a chair. Make believe that you're at your office working, that you're at a desk working, that you're sitting in a restaurant eating a meal. And see how fast that you can get that gun out of your pocket when you're sitting down, driving, or at a restaurant, or working at your desk. So if you want to have a gun that you can access quickly, easily, to be able to defend yourself. Because, folks, like I mentioned before, this stuff is all over in 2 to 3 seconds when something happens to you. Neither of these carry methods is probably a very good idea if you need to get to that gun. Ladies, what is it the muggers want? What does a mugger usually want? your purse. And if you're purse carrying your gun and they get your purse, they got your purse and your gun, and you're defenseless. Think about it. Gentlemen, you know, I just mentioned, how long does it take you when you're sitting down to get that gun out of your pocket? It usually takes as long for a woman to get a gun out of her purse as it does for a guy to get it out of his pocket. They're both equally as bad, and split seconds count. Both of these carry methods are way too slow. There are a lot of holsters and belts that are designed for men and women to easily carry a gun. Investigate some of those. Just do an internet search. Just get on the internet. Google's your friend. Bing is your friend. Or DuckDuckGo, they're your friends. These search engines will turn up a lot. Okay, combined with a comfortable gun and a good holster and a belt, it makes it easy to carry. Yes, ladies, that means you too. It might not be a belt, but there are a lot of excellent holsters that women can use. Just Google women's concealed carry holsters and you'll find them. Now, there's an old saying that you might have heard, maybe you have, maybe you haven't, but I'm going to go ahead. Again, I didn't come up with this. Somebody else did, but it's been said that a gun doesn't have to be comfortable, but it's got to be comforting. And I used to say that. Yeah, it doesn't have to be comfortable, but it's got to be comforting. It has to give you a comforting feeling. I don't really agree with that anymore. I'll tell you why. If a gun is not comfortable to wear, in all likelihood, you won't carry it, and it's going to be of very little use to you sitting at home in your safe or in your car in your glove box. Uncomfortable guns tend to not get carried, and therefore all they are then is a range toy. Something you can go to the range and show off, and they won't be much good to you if you go to the grocery store and somebody mugs you. Or if you're just about anywhere and someone might try to carjack you. Or you're walking through a dark parking lot at night and a guy attacks you, ladies, and overpowers you and you can't get your gun out of your purse. Or, gentlemen, you're attacked by more than one guy, which happens a lot, and it takes way too long for you to get your gun out of your pocket. So, take a training class. And I mean a class that goes beyond what your state requires to get your concealed carry license. Because everything I just covered in this episode up until now, most states don't even require that you know this stuff to get your concealed carry license. You realize that? For some of you that have not got your concealed carry license yet, just about everything I've just talked about in the, let's see here, 21 minutes. I've been talking for 21 minutes. They don't teach you this stuff. So this is kind of controversial what I'm talking about, but the truth is, it is our God-given right, protected by the Second Amendment, to own a weapon and to carry it. So I cannot make the argument that it's okay to ask permission from our government to carry a gun. We already have that permission that's protected by the Second Amendment. But you need to get some kind of proficiency training. And even everything I just talked about, which is learning how to effectively get your gun out and ready to use, that's proficiency training. I don't mean you got to be tactical and all that kind of stuff. Just learn how to draw it effectively. You know, if you talk to most cops are going to say the most important part of using their gun is being able to get it out of their holster and put the first one or two shots on target quickly. That's the most important part of what they have to do. If they have to go to their gun. But I'm going to say this, the 4 to 16 hour class that's required in most states to get a carry license in no way prepares you for the harsh reality of using your gun for self-defense. And think about the states that don't even require any training class. How much have they prepared you for the harsh reality of using a gun in self-defense? They've prepared you even a little bit less than the states that have anywhere between a 4 and 16 hour class. And most of those classes are pathetic when it comes to teaching you how to win the fight. Okay, all these classes do is teach you the bare minimum that the state decided that they want you to know. All right, most of the classes focuses on when and where you're allowed to carry and the penalties associated with violating their concealed carry laws. Frankly, that's about all. Some of them get into gun safety. Some of them get into safe storage. You know, some of them get into some of the legalities of what might happen to you if you use your gun where you're not authorized to carry it. And what's really interesting, and this is one of the reasons why I've sort of stopped teaching concealed handgun licenses in the state of Texas, even though I am still a certified instructor. I can certify to get somebody to get their CHL in Texas. You know, teaching somebody what the requirements are to renew their license, I'm not real sure of what importance is that to a person when they're just learning this and they're just trying to get their license to begin with, and this is all brand new to them, and the instructor spends a whole bunch of time on what you have to do to renew 5 years down the road. 5 years down the road? The average student's thinking about 5 minutes or 5 hours down the road, and they're thinking about, hey, how am I going to pass this class just to get my license in the first place? So, you know, again, I don't know where some of these states come up with some of this stuff that they want people to teach, but it's kind of one of the reasons I felt like the money that I was taking from people to teach the CHL classes, I felt a little bit guilty at times teaching what I was teaching, because some stuff they really need to know and some stuff they just really don't need to know. And, you know, they need to know when not to carry a gun and where they cannot. And they need to know about the penalties of carrying where you're not supposed to. Yeah, that's important. But, you know, how to renew your license in 5 years, I don't know. I just didn't think that that was. And we didn't spend that much time in the concealed carry course on that, in teaching the class. But when I read the curriculum for the first time, I thought, huh? What? What's up with this? Anyway, to get better at using your gun, seek out a local instructor that teaches a basic handgun self-defense class. About a month ago, I did one. About a month ago, Nelson in San Antonio, who listens to this podcast, he did a pretty cool thing. He scheduled a company outing with the people that he works with his employer. And I'm not going to name his employer or anything or what they do, but these were all people that he worked with, and he scheduled a company outing. And the company outing was to meet with me at the shooting range and learn how to shoot handguns. That's pretty cool. It was 2 hours. I had three or four people in that class that had never shot a firearm before. So that was a lot of fun. Okay? Seek out a local instructor who is at least willing to start with the basics first. Okay, if you're listening to this and you already have a good training on the basics, then seek out a slightly more advanced class, an intermediate level course. Ben and I occasionally teach Beyond Concealed Carry. That's an immediate level class, excuse me, intermediate level class, intermediate level. And then we also have an advanced version of that called Beyond Concealed Carry Advanced. Now, I mentioned that in 2016, I may not be able to go out on the road too much because of my family situation, but I may I may be teaching some of these types of classes locally in the San Antonio or Austin, Texas area. So if you want to train with me and you can make it over here to San Antonio or Austin, watch my website, handgunworld.com. That's handgunworld.com. And I might be going to Houston, Austin, San Antonio to put on all of these classes, beginners, intermediate, and some advanced. Maybe. Let's see. I can't be doing too much traveling because of my family situation. So, you know, I've let a lot of people know that that's going to be a real limitation for me in 2016. Now, if you simply can't find an instructor locally and you're willing to travel, there are the door is wide open, bigger than you can believe. There's all kinds of great training classes. Now, I'm going to mention some training classes that I think are really good. Okay, here's some classes that I think are terrific. And if I leave somebody off of the list, it's just because I'm forgetting to, not because that I don't like them. Everything I'm going to mention to you, I like. Okay? Anything taught by Suarez International, and they teach beginning, and they teach highly advanced operator classes, and everything in between. Gabe Suarez, S-U-A-R-E-Z. Anything by Suarez International. Very good training. Can't go wrong. Anything by the Massad Ayoub group, taught by Massad Ayoub or many of his instructors. Chaz Murray from the Road Gunner podcast is a Mag 20 instructor, I believe. Okay, he teaches for the Massad Ayoub group. He's going to be one of the instructors that is going to be teaching with me and Ben and Tracy Thronberg from Austin, Texas. And the four of us are putting on our advanced class for people that do have a significant amount of training under their belt. I do believe that most everything that James Yeager teaches is pretty good stuff. Now, you might not like James Yeager as a person, but you know what? Do you really have to like a person to be able to learn how to use your handgun? You know, if you can put up with a person's personality for 2 days, but you can pull out some information that'll help you, take that class. Anything taught up in the Pacific Northwest by the Firearms Academy of Seattle. Anything taught by Gunsight. Anything taught by Tom Givens at Rangemaster. Anything taught by Tiger McKee, Shoot Right Academy. Classes taught by Rob Pincus, ice training or combat-focused shooting, whatever he calls it. These are all good classes. Some of these I've never taken, and I would like to take them. And it's my goal next year to take one or two of these for sure. Now, if you want a complete listing of the classes I'm going to be involved in, or that Ben Branham is going to be involved in, and John Payne from Suarez International, www.handgunworld.com. Handgunworld.com. You can learn some things by watching videos, for example. Now, I'm going to say right now, watching videos is not training. But watching videos can give you a really good idea of where to start and what to start practicing, and give you a good idea as to what kind of training you want to seek when you get a live instructor. So with that said, Ben Branham of the Modern Self-Protection Podcast and myself, 2.5-3 years ago, we came up with the Shooters Club. The Shooters Club is a collection of videos on the internet. You have to pay for them if you want to see them. I'm not going to lie. It's a way that we raise money to support our shows. I've been in sales for 29 years. It's my full-time profession. And one thing I've learned is the more honest I am, the more sales I make. So I'm being honest with you. This is the way that we try to raise money for the work that we do. But I think we give a great benefit for it. It's not a scam, and it's not even a low-valued money-making event. We've got 35 or 36 really good instructional videos on how to use a handgun. We've also got some audio podcasts by some pretty big names in the handgun or in the gun industry in general. Okay? So there's a like over 40 pieces of media that you can watch or listen to for only $75 a year. Not a month, $75 a year, or $8 a month. If it's easier to pay for it, $8 a month, you can sign up that way. And a little bit later in this episode, I'm going to talk about some good giveaways for people who are Shooters Club members. But that's a way to get some training. A little bit. It's not complete training, but it's some training. I mean, technology is wonderful, isn't it? It's great. I mean, there's all kinds of things that we can take advantage of today. Now, let's take a quick break, and I'll be right back with some more on learning how to use your handgun.
The Brady Campaign is telling America that 85 people are killed with guns every day. What they are not saying is that nearly 60% of those deaths are suicides. Subtract those, justifiable self-defense shootings, and some very rare accidents, and the real number is 33 deaths each day. But the federal government tells us 80% of those deaths are gang violence, so the number that Brady should be talking about is 27 gang shootings a day, or less than 3 each for the 10 largest cities in the country. The Brady Campaign needs to come clean, for once. Arm yourself with facts to strip the gun control industry bare. Visit gunfacts.info and get your free copy of Gun Facts. Called indispensable by Cam Edwards of NRA News, Gun Facts is your rapid reference guide to debunking gun control myths and shaming politicians into obedience. www.gunfacts.info.
Okay, during the break, I want to let all of you know who are Shooters Club members already. As long as you keep your membership active between now and December 24th. In other words, if you don't let it lapse before the 24th of December this year, 2015, guess what? You are going to have a chance to win a gun. How about that? Okay, I've decided I don't want to keep my Springfield XDS 9mm. I've been doing the 9mm challenge. I am going to test some other 9mm, but I put them through some pretty good paces. And I like the Smith & Wesson Shield 9mm. I like the Glock 43. I even like a Ruger LC9 Pro that I had a chance to shoot recently. I was fairly impressed with that. And I like Car 9mm, you know, Car Arms. And there's a couple of others that I wish to test, but the XDS is not going to be one that I'm going to want to hang on to. So it's my personal gun. My personal gun, Ben and I are going to give away to somebody who is a member of our Shooters Club on December 24th. It's going to be a random thing. So all you have to do is show a simple act of support by keeping your membership active or signing up for a membership between now and the 24th of December at $8 a month or $75 a year. And you know what? You're going to get all of the benefits of being a member anyway. You know, it's not like the only thing that's going to happen is you get a chance to win a gun. No, far more than that. You're going to get the chance to, you know, look at all the videos, listen to the podcasts, and get discounts and things and participate in giveaways. So one person is going to win my Springfield XDS, and I got 6 magazines. I got 3 7-round magazines and 3 8-round magazines. We're also giving away 5 holsters. 5 people are going to win a holster made by On Your 6 Designs. They make real simple, minimalistic Kydex holsters that, believe it or not, are very comfortable. And the best thing is that you can draw fast from them, and the retention's pretty good. Decent stuff. So 5 people will get a holster for a gun of their choice. And then for the entire year, 2016, if you're an active member on December 24th, you will be eligible for 15% off all of 2016 classes. All the classes that either I teach or Ben Branham. In 2016, you qualify for 15% off. All you have to do is just email us, remind us you're a Shooters Club member. We'll look up your membership, make sure it's active, and then we'll send you a special discount link to get signed up for whatever class that we have all of next year. Last but not least, if you want to support my show, don't forget about my Amazon store. The holidays are coming up. The holidays are coming fast and furious. We're buying Christmas presents. Yes, we're going to be buying Christmas presents for people. And notice I said Christmas. That's the holiday that we buy Christmas gifts for people. And, you know, just do this. Google one time why we give gifts at Christmas. What is the real meaning of giving gifts at Christmas? I want you to search that out, and I'll just let you come up with the answer on your own. But think about this. If you're going to buy something on Amazon and give it to somebody for Christmas, buy it through my Amazon store. Go to handgunworld.com, click the Amazon store page. If you haven't used my link in a while, please do me a favor and refresh it. Refreshing it means go back to handgunworld.com, click my Amazon store, and once you get into my Amazon store, then save that once again in your favorites and delete the old one. Delete the old favorites and keep the new one. And then just use that from time to time. So that'll help me out. Amazon pays me a small little fee when you do that. It helps support the show, and I very much appreciate you doing that. All right, quick sound effect or something, and then I'll get to the second half of the main topic. Okay, I want to back up a little bit, recover a couple of things, and then get into some more new material here on learning how to use your handgun. I'll bet most of you listening to this show at one point or another have had somebody say to you, "You have a gun? Isn't that thing dangerous?" The next time somebody says that to you, here's what I want you to say. Yeah, it's dangerous. It better be dangerous. If I've got to use this to defend my life, it better be dangerous. You darn right it is. You see, I mean, they're probably not going to be expecting that answer from you, but isn't it the truth? Okay, but are you dangerous with that gun? And I don't mean are you dangerous in terms of having an accident or carelessly hurting somebody. What I'm talking about is, can you be a dangerous person with that gun? Can you unleash a dangerous amount of self-defense that'll put a bad enough hurt on the bad guy to make the bad guy stop doing what he's doing to hurt you that made you pull your gun on him in the first place? That's what I mean when I ask you the question, are you dangerous with your handgun? And learning how to use it and taking a training class will actually help you become dangerous. Not carelessly dangerous to where you're unsafe, but dangerous because you know what you're doing and you know how to prevail. Make sense? Now, I want to speak a little bit more again about states that don't require any training to get a concealed carry license, because some don't. And it's a controversial subject here, but the truth is it is our right and it's protected by the Second Amendment. Seek out a local instructor, as I mentioned before, who's teaching a basic self-defense class. And if you already have good training on the basics, seek out a slightly more advanced class. And it doesn't hurt to email or call the instructor and ask what kind of a level class this is. Now, some instructors have different ideas of what's advanced and what's not. Okay, I'm going to give you some things that I want you to ask the instructor. These are what I think are the basics. Do they teach you how to load and reload your pistol or revolver? Do they teach you how to properly draw from a holster? Do they teach you how to properly load your magazines? And do they teach you how to properly carry the magazines of ammunition? Do they teach you about what types of ammunition you should use? Do they teach you how to operate all of the features on your handgun? These are the types of things you're going to find in a basic self-defense class. Do they teach you how to fire 5 to 10 rounds? Maybe not rapidly, but 5 to 10 rounds in fairly short order and keep them all within about an 8 to 10 inch ring at 5 to 7 yards. That's pretty basic shooting right there. Okay? Now, if you're past all that stuff, this is what I think you should look for in an intermediate instructor. Do they teach you how to shoot on the move? That's very important. Do they teach you how to shoot on the move? Do they teach you how to shoot moving targets? Okay? Do they teach you how to properly hold a handgun depending on which direction you're moving and what makes the most sense for your body and how to get the quick hit? Do they teach you how to draw from the holster and get one or two fast hits? Do they teach you how to get some up-close hits without using your sights completely? Do they teach you proper clearance of malfunctions? If your gun should malfunction or break when you need it the most. You know, do they teach you a little bit about liability or the aftermath of a gunfight or how to justify that you've been in a gunfight? How to quickly, within seconds, determine that it's justifiable to shoot? And do they teach you even a little bit what to do after you have to use your gun in interacting with 911 operators, in interacting with police, and when you end up going to court? If they teach these types of things, that's an intermediate level class. If you're looking for an advanced class, and a lot of you new shooters listening to this, you might not think that you're ready for it yet, but you will be. Advanced classes teach things like greater distances and making hits without a complete use of your sights. Yes, it can be done. Don't let anybody tell you it can't be done. Just don't believe them, because I'll take you on the range and show you that it can be done. And it's only going to take me a couple of hours. If you're already a semi-skilled shooter, it's only going to take me a couple of hours to get you making hits at distances you never thought that you could do without using your sights. And making hits. I'm not talking about missing all the time. I'm talking about making hits. Okay? Do they teach you how to manipulate the gun one-handed? Can you shoot one-handed? With both hands. I mean, can you shoot right-handed one-handed and left-handed one-handed? Can you clear a malfunction with just one hand? Do you know how to reload a fresh magazine of ammo in your gun with just one hand? And by the way, there are many, many scenarios as to why you'd want to learn these types of things. Do they teach you how to shoot from strange positions, like if you're laying prone on the ground, if you're laying from your side? What if you've been pushed down and you're laying on the back, on your back, and you got to draw your gun and there are people that want to attack you standing right over you? Do you know how to use your gun to fight your way to a standing position? Okay. These are some of the types of advanced techniques you can learn in advanced classes. Do you know what to do if somebody pulls a gun on you and they're close range? Like, let's say they're 3 or 4 feet away from you and they pull a gun on you. Do you know how to take that gun away effectively from that person? If you draw your gun and you're just a few feet away, do you know how to do it so where it's unlikely that the bad guy can take the gun away from you? These are the types of things that an advanced class is typically going to learn or teach you. Okay? Force on force is what it's commonly called. This is where people will get together in a training class and they'll put a whole bunch of padding and protection on and they'll shoot each other with airsoft guns. And it's one of the best ways to completely simulate a real gunfight. And you can get all very, very creative with force on force and everything, simulating a real gun self-defense act. That's advanced training. So those are the types of things that you can look for, and you can seek out instructors that can teach you that. I've taught a lot of this stuff through Suarez International classes in the past. Ben Branham and I from the Modern Self-Protection podcast and myself, we've taught this on our own sometimes. We put a little bit of a different flavor to some of the stuff that we've learned in other places and kind of made it our own and customize it to teach people things that we like, that we think that they ought to know. So those are some things that you can start to look for in learning how to use your guns. Now, I got a question for you. Have you ever been to a gun range where that's just open to the public, where anybody can come and shoot? I think you're probably all saying, yes, 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 I've done that. If so, I'll bet there's a good chance that you've seen people that can't hit the broadside of a barn with a target that's just a few yards away. And on the other hand, you've probably seen some very, very, very good shooters that put everything into a small little circle from a few yards away. But here's what I want you to remember. Statistics show us that you're only going to be about half as good in a real life defense situation as you are at the range. So if you can't hit the broadside of a barn at the range, you can't hit the broadside of two barns in a real life situation when you're under a lot of stress and the stink has hit the fan big time and you're in a desperate situation. Okay, civilian defensive gun uses have been studied for a long time, folks. These are not statistics that I'm just pulling out of thin air. Law enforcement defensive gun uses have also been studied for a long time. The common denominator with both law enforcement and civilian defenses with a firearm, DGUs, defensive gun uses, the common denominator is that people miss the shot more than they make a hit. More often than they make a hit. That's a fact. Okay? The intense psychological and physical pressure brought about by a violent attack creates a problem for most untrained people. And, you know, you don't have to go attend a boot camp for several weeks on how to be a high-speed, low-drag operator with your gun. Okay? You can show up to a one-day class that takes about 8 hours that we teach, and by the end of the day, we can make you pretty effective. Just spending an 8-hour day with us, even if you've never had any training before. It's all in the quality of the instructor, ladies and gentlemen. And you can go to handgunworld.com, and I have a class reviews page. And you can look at reviews of classes that either I've taught on my own or Ben and I have taught them together. Handgunworld.com, click the class reviews page. You'll see a bunch of them on there. I'll just let the reviews speak for themselves. But people have walked away learning at least one or two very, very valuable skills that they can use immediately. Even advanced shooters that have attended my classes come away with one or two skills that they either didn't know or they knew them and they realized they needed to practice more and train more. Or maybe they learned a different way of doing the same thing. And that's another thing. Be wary of an instructor that tells you there's only one way to make a hit, or that there's only one way to perform a reload, or to clear a malfunction. There are multiple ways to do all kinds of things in using a handgun. So, not everybody's right all the time, not everybody's wrong all the time. Okay? Make sure that you're learning things on how to draw from your holster and from your carry method of choice and make accurate hits quickly enough to make the aggressor change his or her mind and pick a different victim. Okay? Owning a gun is a very, very huge responsibility, and it should not be taken lightly. Even if you've been around guns all your life. Oh, wow. How many of you have heard that one? I've been around guns all of my life. That's wonderful. I'm glad you've been around guns all your life. It doesn't mean that you know how to shoot. You know, I mean, what if you've listened to music most of your life? Does that make you a good musician? What if you've watched a lot of golf on TV? Let's say almost all your life you've been watching golf on TV. Can you go out and be a championship golfer right away? You know, think about this stuff, folks. You know, think about what people say sometimes, or if you say it, and analyze your own thoughts and realize what they are. You know, I've heard people say, my dad has guns around the house. He has for years. And so I know what I'm doing, and my dad taught me. I'm not saying that your father was not a good instructor. Okay? Your father probably was a good instructor. But I can speak from experience. You give me 1 to 2 hours with most of these people who say, my dad's had guns for years and taught me how to shoot them. Give me an hour or two with these people on the shooting range, and I'm going to teach them something they didn't know. Being around guns all your life doesn't make you know how to use one. Okay? Now, I don't know it all either. I've been doing this since 2005. Not very long. 10 years. Okay? And I'm far from being as proficient as I want to be. You know, at the time of the production of this podcast, which is September 30th and October 1st of 2015, yeah, I plan on taking at least 2 training classes next year. Now, I've been doing this 10 years. I think I've been a student at 8 or 9 different courses, and I've taught about 20 courses now, probably. Probably taught a total of 300 or 400 students in the 20 courses. Okay. I still have plenty to learn, ladies and gentlemen. I have a lot to learn. So I'm going to take 2 real good quality training classes, and hopefully they can both be local and I won't have to do a whole lot of traveling. But even if I got to make 1 trip to go to a good class, I'm going to do that. You can judge a professional by what he or she learns after they think they know it all. All right. I'll say that again. You can judge a professional by what he or she learns after they think they already know it all. So ask your instructor, what kind of a class do they take every year? I think every good instructor who wants to stay good should take at least 1 class a year and keep themselves sharp and up to date as to what's going on. So ask, if you're seeking out an instructor, ask him or her, hey, in the last 12 months or so, just curious, can you tell me which training classes that you've taken and what did you learn? See what their answer is.
No, I don't take training anymore, Bob. I've had a lot of training years ago, way back when I was in the military. I've been retired for 30 years from the military, but I had a lot of training in the military. I haven't had any since I got out. But I know what I'm doing, Bob. So, you know, why don't you get signed up for a class?
And, you know, I didn't just say that to pick on military people. I love the men and women who serve this country. You have done something I wish I would have done, and I never did. I never got a chance to serve this country in the military. My hat's off to you, but if you run into somebody that is retired military, let me tell you, there's a lot of really good, talented, retired military people coming back from overseas that are phenomenal trainers. And then there are some Elmer Fudds out there that retired from the military 25, 30 years ago, and they're still teaching what they learned 25 or 30 years ago. So you decide. Okay? But those are the questions that you should ask when making a decision as to who is going to be your instructor or instructors. This is a serious business of carrying a gun here. So make it a serious decision. Okay, get some instruction, by the way, from someone who's not a friend or a relative. This is the final point that I want to make in this episode for new shooters in learning how to use your gun. Okay, but it's the most important, and I've saved the best for last. Get some instruction from somebody who's not a friend, a relative, or a spouse. They cannot teach you as effective as you can learn from someone else that you don't know. I'm not saying don't take a class with a family member. That's actually a good thing. Spouses should train together, or father and sons, or mothers and daughters, or whatever. I'm saying the instructor needs to be a certified instructor that's got credibility with you, but is not a family member. Okay? Family members, they sometimes engage in conversation that is not productive for a learning environment. I think you know what I mean, don't you? Okay, and especially with young people. If you have a young person that you're trying to introduce to guns and train them, they are going to learn a lot more from someone who's competent, but from someone who's not one of their relatives. Okay, let me take another quick break, and I'll be right back. Okay, with all that said, folks, I think this is pretty much where I want to stop. Like I said, this is my third podcast I did that has been geared primarily to new shooters. If you have some other ideas, or if you're a new shooter, new concealed carrier, and there's some things I didn't get to, don't forget about my voicemail. Feel free to call in a question. I'd be more than happy to answer it in future podcasts. My voicemail number is 210-646-1727. 210-646-1727. Wouldn't it be nice if I heard from an anti-gunner, by the way? No anti-gunners had the guts yet to call my voicemail. Hey, it's just a voicemail. I can't talk back to you while you're leaving me your anti-gun words and ideas. So I would just love one day to listen to that voicemail, and it's somebody making a coherent case of why citizens should not own and carry guns. I would love to hear it. Now, I will respond. Maybe that's what they're kind of afraid of. Maybe they're afraid of my response. I don't know. Or, you know, I think the big reason why they don't call is because they don't listen to this show. Unfortunately, I wish more anti-gunners, or even some anti-gunners, would listen to this show, because, hey, maybe we could change some minds. You never know. Speaking of anti-gunners, take them out shooting. That's one of the best ways to change their minds. Teach them how to be safe. Teach them how to have a lot of fun. And you'll be surprised. So thanks for listening to another episode of the Handgun World Podcast. I'm Bob Main. I carry a gun because I can't carry a cop. And remember, evil does not exist in the holster. It exists in the hearts of man. Shoot straight. Shoot safe. And I'll catch you next week. Goodbye.